I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do drugs. I play video games.
News and Rumors with your hosts, John DeLuna, XB,
X-Chicken,
Weebum.
Damn right I am.
And Rob.
Here we go!
News and Rumors.
Hey everybody, welcome to New Soundwave for the week of the 15th, April 15th, 2 weeks from BotCon, which would be awesome, which is vaguely video game related, I guess. They are doing a Transformers video game at some point this year. It's going to be of some decent quality, I think, maybe?
Maybe.
Probably. Yeah, it's in August. It'll make its way there sooner or later.
Oh yeah, wow. Okay, so if it's releasing in August... BotCon's in late April. I guess the build that they're going to show at BotCon's going to be pretty close to the final.
I think.
Yeah. Hope.
Yeah, I would hope so too.
Great.
I'll have to play it. We'll have to play it, Peter. And XV too. Come on, man. Let's do it.
Actually, just buy an Xbox. They're only like $300.
Yeah. Which is the cost of like a third party toy. Like a 360?
360. Yeah, 360, I meant. Not an actual. Yeah. Not the bot.
Yeah, because you've got Saints Row the Third.
Right. Well, I rented Saints Row the Third.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Can rent Fall of Cybertron. All play each other.
But I won't. Well, no, I can't because that probably won't be in a red box.
I don't know about that. I don't know. Transformers is a pretty big brand. I think being in a red box.
I don't think it's headline title enough.
Really?
It's not going to make it.
You think?
No. Yeah, no, I don't think so.
I mean, a red box holds maybe 24 game titles total.
Yeah.
So. Skyrim. Skyrim, when it came out, took like 3 spots.
Well, yeah, I can see that.
You know, they're just going to save that space for whatever is new and hot at the moment. And I don't think Fall of Cybertron is going to qualify enough.
How dare you, sir?
Well, let's see here.
It's not going to be new enough, and it's certainly not going to be hot enough.
Really? Huh. I don't know.
I don't see it happening.
I guess maybe I'm too close to game. I mean, I don't hold Transformers in, like, as high regard as maybe some Transformers fans go, but I still think of it as a big deal, at least that game. Of course, let me see here. Well, let's see here. So far, the only things really on the docket for August that are of any importance for video games is a Dark Souls DLC, Persona 4, which is a fighting game, an anime fighting game, so anime, Sleeping Dogs for PS3, I don't even know what that is, and then Transformers, so I don't know, maybe it'll be the big release of the month.
Yeah, they'll just be riding on all the July stuff still.
I hope not. I hope not. Anyway, it'll be interesting to see if it's any good at BotCon. I'm sure it'll be somewhat entertaining. I mean, it's a multiplayer game when you get down to it. For all the stuff they put into the story, it's a multiplayer game. It's Gears, yeah. Still, I assume. The first one was.
It's Unreal. Yeah, it's running the same engine, so yeah. The feel will be the same.
Yeah, and the trailers look nice, but the trailers have had very little gameplay, which is annoying and worrisome a little bit.
But they've released gameplay video before, so you should be okay.
What, like 6 or 7 seconds at a time, I think?
No, they showed the whole thing of
Bruticus?
Yeah.
They showed the Bruticus fight, I guess?
Yeah.
Okay. Alright. Okay. I hope it's good. I'm not the biggest fan of third-person or over-the-shoulder shooters, but I did like the first game. It was good. It was harmless. It was way better than had any right to be.
Well, it's not like Transformers has the greatest track record of video games to judge against anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, if you have low expectations, you will be
be amazed.
That's terrific. Yeah. If you're expecting a completely shitty experience,
yeah,
you'll...
it is not total shit.
Yeah, that's right.
Huh. If you're expecting Dark of the Moon, the video game, you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, exactly.
Did that Chinese MMO come out ever?
I think they're still working on that.
They're still working on it, and it looks better than the Jagex version.
Okay. What are the odds of that actually happening? ever.
What do you mean?
Like, well, is that Chinese MMO going to actually happen at some
probably.
Point?
Probably.
In China? Hopefully.
Okay.
Yeah, probably in China.
It'll come out before Jagex's version.
Oh, man. What a weird world we live in right now for Transformers games. And we don't even have, like, is Botshots going to get a video game? I don't have they announced that yet? Any...
Well, they have an online game. I don't think there's been anything about a console game for it.
Hmm. That would be a good one for the Wii, I feel. Like a good kitty Transformers game for the Wii.
They're coming out with a kitty Transformers Prime game.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, for Nintendo systems.
Oh, okay, so for like the Wii and the 3DS?
Yeah.
A kitty Transformers Prime.
Although we're thinking that it's actually meant for the Wii and the DS, and it'll, you know, just be 3DS compatible through its backwards compatibility.
Sure, that makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah, because they're still cranking out DS games fairly regularly.
But so. I think if they were going to do a Botshot game, the 3DS would probably be the best way to do it, rather than the Wii, because you could probably find a way to work in the augmented reality system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. And multiplayer and that kind of stuff. So, online play. Yeah, that would be good. That would be good.
They would basically have to treat it like the Transformers Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. That would actually be awesome.
For all the pitfalls that would entail, but, you know.
Okay. Like, seizures. And cross-dressing villains. Let's go deep with Pokemon.
Vomiting.
Okay. Yeah, let's go deep. Somewhat offensive stereotypes. Man, somewhat offensive. Hitmonlee. Is Hitmonlee a stereotype that's offensive?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm kind of digging totally, this, though, I gotta say.
Totally an Asian stereotype.
Yeah, but is he offensive? Does he offend people? Honestly? Peter?
Yes, Asian people. Yes, Chinese people.
Yeah, Hitmonlee. I'm trying to think of any worse Pokemon stereotypes now that we're on that bend.
Squirtle?
Jinx.
Jinx. Yeah, Jinx
is. Jinx is always the one people point to.
Well, all of the variations of Hitmonlee, like all his evolutions.
On Chan.
Yeah, that's right. He's Chan. Offensive. Yeah, Chan. Yeah, yeah. There was the... Yeah, Jinx was offensive. Jinx was super offensive. Like, incredibly offensive. I forgot about Jinx. I'm trying to think. Pikachu doesn't offend anybody, other than, like, nature, because he's some kind of made-up rabbit.
And electric mice.
Yeah.
And I'm sure if you're getting into crimes against nature, there's more things you could point to than Pikachu.
Yeah. Well, within Pokemon, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, almost every one of them, I guess. Let's see here. Oh, well, one thing I did want to talk about this week. By the way, if you can't tell, this week has, like, no official topic. This week is half-ass, baby. Half-ass, as everybody gets into BotCon mode. I did purchase Fez on Friday, and so Fez is the independent game that has become, like, a real hit with everybody now. It's, like, it was on the front page of Yahoo. It was on, I think, the New York Times website. It's cool. It's a little indie game. It's $10. I think it's $10 or $15 on Xbox Live. And it was developed over the last 4 years. And it finally came out. And so it's a kind of love letter to 16-bit games. 8-bit, 16-bit games. And it's a real simple thing. There are no enemies. I don't think you can die in it. It's just all about, like, exploration. The gist of it is it's a 2D... world that you live in, your character, who's named Gomez. He lives in a 2D world, and then one day he's given a magic fez, and when he puts it on, he's able to see, like, three dimensions. So he's able to explore, like, a dimension that nobody knows exists in his world. And what it is, so think of it as like a 2D platforming game, so a 2D platformer, but you can rotate the screen anytime you want. You can rotate the world anytime you want, and it'll rotate, like, as a third dimension. So it's like sides of a cube, sides of a box. So, and one side is like a 2D world, and then you rotate it, and that same world rotates, and so the perspective of everything changes as it rotates around. Does that make sense?
It's kind a lot of rotating.
Yeah, it's like, and then all the levels are built on that premise of a 2D world that rotates and because of that, there's perspective changes, and so where you can jump and where you can access changes depending on how you rotate this square, so to speak. Cool. So, yeah, it's interesting. It's kind of buggy, but that's okay. I mean, it's a $10 indie game. I mean, it's going to have lots of bugs in it. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of forgivable. It's enjoyable. The music's really good. It's like a complete homage to 16-bit gaming. I would recommend it. I wouldn't have like expectations that this is going to be of the quality of a $60 game. So I think one thing is that it's gotten really popular and people are talking about it, and so expectations are going to go up. And I think a lot of people who have never bought or played an indie game are going to play it, and they're going to be like, "This is full of bugs," or like, you know, like, "This isn't working." It's like, and like, "This is really short," and they're going to forget it's a $10 game, like made by probably like 8 people in 4 years. So it's just a completely different flavor, but it's really good, and I would recommend it. It's getting really high scores all over the internet. Another thing that I played, and XV, when you come over, I hope you and Kilby and JD too, if he's so inclined, plays a little bit of is Kid Icarus. So Kid Icarus is a game that, and Peter too, if you haven't played Kid Icarus. Kid Icarus is a game that apparently is getting really polarized reaction because Brian Kilby's one of these people who are they're nostalgic inexplicably for Kid Icarus, the first game from like 1987, and I don't know what's to be nostalgic about. But it's not a platformer anymore. It's a shooter. So, and what? it's a terrific. Yeah. Okay. See right there. it's like you raped my childhood
with his bow and stuff.
Yeah, it's a shooter. But now it's right. A shooter.
He raped your childhood with his bow and stuff.
Yes, oh. He did. It's one of those games. It's a dating game. Is what
that's
I'm
a far way to go. It's a dating game. Oh my god!
Hey, by the way,
Icarus dating sim.
When I was looking on, I was looking for Fez on Friday night to download and play. I didn't realize this. There are dating games on Xbox Live. They put those on Xbox Live. You can download those if you want. Like hardcore Japanese dating games are on there. Oh dear!
Well,
right.
Just because nobody's reviewing the content.
I guess I have no idea what's happening. Like, I thought you still had to go to, you know, like, Times Square dingy independent video game shops to get that kind of stuff here. Or online. But no, it's, like, legitimate. Totally played legit. Totally legit.
I
didn't
bet stuff on PSN, too.
Oh, there's no doubt it's on PSN. I bet PSN's way dirtier than Xbox Live. I bet it is. It's like the Wild West there. But it didn't. They didn't have the, They didn't have the dating game where you date physically impaired girls. Do you remember when we talked about that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. So that's out there. Yeah, Peter. There's one out there.
That show.
You're giving me the look. I swear to God, there's a dating game out right now in Japan. Where else? Where the girls are all physically impaired. So there's one that's a severe burn victim. There's one that is an amputee. There's other variety of ailments. So I don't know if it's empowering, like it's a sweet story that yes, these girls are wanted too, or if it's just creepy. Or both.
Wow, that reminds me.
Made his conclusion.
You know what? You know what's sad. You know what's funny is in my travels I saw a promotional poster for a show called The Undateables. And what they do is they cast all these people who have like Down syndrome stuff like that, and they turn it into a dating show.
What country was this in?
I believe it was the UK.
Okay.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Pretty exploitative, I have to say.
Man.
Yeah. It's Channel 4, which is a United station.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a possible way to do that tastefully. Like, that may be impossible. Literally impossible to do.
Yeah.
Please, God, America, do not listen. That's a bad idea.
And we thought the Kardashians were terrible.
Right? This would be on Bravo or something like that.
Think, too, that, you know, 95% of stuff that the U.S. copies off of UK TV ends up being done considerably worse.
Yeah, but oddly, the ones that they steal mostly are, like, singing shows, talent shows.
Yeah, the easy ones.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
The undateables. Man. Maybe I'll slip a clip into that in one of our shows. Just to see if anybody notices. Yeah, or maybe that's more appropriate for ScreenView. ScreenView needs to talk about that. You need to, that's what you brought back to ScreenView on your travels, is the undateables.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, here's 15 minutes of the worst show ever created.
Yeah, see, that's what you need to do for a future episode. All the, you know, British TV shows you observed while you were over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just do a whole feature on that.
I like it. I like it. Yeah. Or like...
Okay, so next week on Screen View.
Yeah, that's right.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, the issue with screen... The issue with that is most of... If you thought regular broadcast television in the United States sucked, just British television in general just sucks. There's, like, never anything on. It's always just, like, these stupid shows. Or it's all reruns of American shows.
Oh, really? They rerun our stuff?
That's right.
Yeah. They did, like a Big Bang Theory marathon.
Awesome.
And then
that's
later it was
flattering.
Like, we're debuting The Good Wife for years later.
Awesome. So they show the really terrible shows.
Yeah.
Really. It's like CBS, essentially. I never got CBS. Well... Big Bang Theory is like nothing but double entendres every like 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's a Chuck Lorre show. And it's less. Yeah, so that's. You can just take that what you will.
Oh, man. So that's the way we're getting back at the British. We're sticking it to them. It's like, here, have this, run this. Put this
you
on
can screen. Have. You can have our shows. All the crap.
Yeah, all the crappy shows. That's right. Here's a bunch of, like, 40-year-olds playing 20-year-old dorks.
Well, it took 20 years, but we're finally getting back at them for Are You Being Served?
Wah, wah, wah. I mean, I haven't seen that show in, like, 20 years.
I know PBS doesn't run it anymore.
Really, they don't?
You around here.
Do they run Fawlty Towers still?
No.
Heights, I think.
Okay. All right. Now, I liked Fawlty Towers.
It's good for something.
Yeah, all they run now are those, like, Victorian age period dramas and stuff like that. Isn't that, like, Masterpiece Theater? I mean, they still roll that out, don't they? Every Saturday night, something like that? I think they do. And then anything but The Frugal Gourmet. Their greatest regret.
Yes.
Well, yeah. I think we talked about that before.
Well, invariably The Frugal Gourmet comes up in casual conversation. It's like, hey, remember that guy?
Around yeah. here it does, anyway.
Well, I grew up loving The Frugal Gourmet.
And there goes Peter's face again.
And then
have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, really? There was, yeah, I don't know, XV, no. do you want to take this one?
No, please, I don't think I can
get through. How do you know this show?
The Frugal Gourmet?
I used to watch
I'm asking XV, how do you know this
what?
Show?
What? What do you mean?
I mean, I don't know, I don't remember it being around when I was younger, so.
Well, you're a lot younger than I am. It was probably over by then.
No, I'm not.
Running joke, Peter. Just go with it.
Yeah, I'm like, fine.
Well, Peter, do you know of The Frugal Gourmet?
You know what? Let me look, and I probably
well,
have
no, if
seen
you look
it.
You're
going to
get the ending, and it's going to spoil the whole
oh,
thing.
Oh, I totally know that guy. I have
you
seen
didn't know
video.
Him personally.
I just never knew that was called The Frugal Gourmet. I just remember this
okay,
weird...
But, okay, but, you know that guy. Do you know the story that goes with him?
No.
You know how this ends?
Okay, no. John, hurry up before he reads it for himself.
Okay, yes. All right. So we're going to go to break on this story. The Frugal Gourmet yeah. was a PBS cook show host, known obviously for frugality, I guess, although that theme never really...
Supposedly, but it never really came across.
Yeah. He never
Frugal
really
Gourmet,
used it.
Frugal Gourmet, $55.
Yeah, none yeah. of that. None of that. He was like, use this, use that, who cares how much it costs. Anyway.
Right.
So he was a pleasant guy, pleasant enough, bearded, balding, unassuming, gentleman, who ended up being a serial child molester, and that came out, I think, after he had retired from his show and they were just showing reruns. I think something like that. And so the result was immediately PBS pulled the reruns, denied he ever existed, and everyone just kind of freaked out and cried silently in their you know, plates of pasta because we had all been betrayed by this very nice gentleman. But apparently, yes, he had molested many kids and maybe some that had been on the show. I'm not sure, but I think so.
God.
That'd be like if
Captain Noah molested the children that appeared on the show.
Who's Captain Noah?
Oh shit! Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot that Captain Noah was a regional like Mr. Rogers, and he had a wife, which is Mrs. Noah, and they would make flowers and you know with kids and stuff like that. It was a regional Philadelphia PBS show, but so it's like a Mr. Rogers, but one. Based?
Okay, yes. And he was fine, right? He was cool.
Yeah, he's still alive, and he hasn't molested anyone yet.
Terrific. We love him.
Found out about anyway.
Don't sue us or anything. We love you, Mr. Noah and Mrs. Noah.
Captain Noah.
Man, what a show! What the hell was that first segment?
Arcade Arsenal, RoboCop, and Bad Dudes for Nintendo.
Your move, creep.
Part man, part machine. All game. RoboCop.
Stay out of trouble.
Bad dudes. The forces of good have never been so bad. If you're bad enough, then you're good enough for bad dudes. RoboCop.
Turn off the power. Nintendo power.
Wizards and warriors continues with iron swords.
Malkil will take on the shape of the earth, wind, water, and fire.
The fate of the world is in your hands.
Get Iron Sword for your Nintendo Entertainment System from Acclaim.
Double Dragon 2, The Revenge. Raw power for your NES. 9 incredible missions. 2-player simultaneous action. Double Dragon 2 from Acclaim. The best action game ever.
Okay, so I'm looking for my uncle, but I'm not too sure how to find him, so I go to this island, right? First I gotta talk to the chief, and then I gotta get this parrot to talk, and then I'm talking to these dolphins, and then I'm sneaking around graveyards and shooting zombies and finding undersea tunnels, and then my sub cracks up on the rocks, and then the next thing I know I'm cruising inside a whale. Oh, a new game from Nintendo, man! Star Tropics! Every chapter's like another adventure, so it's like a whole slew of games in one! What's the matter
with you?
He's back. All you had to do was ask. Super Mario Brothers 3 from Nintendo. Now you're playing with power. Continue.
New Soundwave.
Okay, so we're still recovering from that first segment, which was, I think, awesome. But I'll reevaluate when I'm producing. Rob, XV dropped a bomb on us during the commercial break that you were playing Super Mario 64 for the first time right now.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. I played it, and I wasn't even alive when I came.
Okay, so just to start off here, what year did this game come out?
96.
Is that right?
BC.
As far as I know.
Yeah, it was released with N64, so yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. BC, yeah. Yeah, it's now 2012, so let me think about this for a second.
It's not that long ago. He was busy. He just didn't get around.
Busy.
I'll put it this way, I am now twice as old as I was when it came out, so...
Mind-blowing. It was 16 years ago. Mind-blowing.
Mm-hmm. Well, how's it going?
I'm enjoying it. I'm up to about 16 stars at the moment. Hit a couple of switches. The one thing that I've always noticed about, pack-in games with Nintendo hardware is that they are probably the best use of whatever weird interface Nintendo has come up with for the entire system. And I was never really comfortable with the N64 controller playing GoldenEye or any of the other things that we actually wound up getting for the system. Wow. But this just, the controls make sense. They work very well. I can actually play it without falling off of everything, which was the problem I had with other N64 platformers. I'm really sorry I missed it at the time, actually, is what it comes down to.
This would have been awesome in 96.
But you know, it's interesting you mentioned about the controller, though, because I remember reading an interview from when they were still developing the Nintendo 64, where they specifically said, okay, as we went along through this process, we built the controller specifically to be able to work with Mario 64. So, like, they designed and laid out the controller to be a natural interface for that game in particular, because it was the first one they developed.
Yeah, and I'm of the opinion that it never really worked quite as well with anything else that I've actually played, especially the N64 has a much stiffer analog joystick than any other system I have played. And for Mario's range of motion, that is about perfect. For any other game, it just doesn't... It's too stiff and too slow for the way I want to control the game. Later systems were a lot more comfortable to me for that. But for Mario 64, it really is perfect.
After you...
Go ahead, Peter.
I don't remember the analog stick being very tough. But maybe all of my controllers are, like, you know, 16 years old, so I've all been worn out.
That could be it, but I really feel like there's a lot more resistance on the joystick than there are on your average 360 or PS3 controller.
I can kind of see that. I mean, it does, like, I guess in my head, it does snap back pretty tightly. So, yeah, the N64, I mean, it comes back to neutral really tightly. So, yeah, well, congratulations, Rob. Yes, breaking news.
A little late to the party, sir, but you know.
But that's all right. Yeah, I like the idea that Rob can do a contemporary review of Mario 64, and he'll give it, like, a good 9.5.
So. It kind of goes along with what I always say about Mario 64. No Mario game in 3D has ever done it quite as well as that first one did.
You're right.
And I think Rob coming into that one at this point thinking that way basically confirms the whole notion.
Yeah. No, right. I agree.
It's a pattern that has never been repeated successfully, which kind of sucks.
It does kind of suck. And it's almost like it took a whole... But, I mean, that's a game where certainly the controller was built for it, and I guess arguably the hardware, too, is kind of like... It was like the concept game for the entire hardware... you know, presentation. So the N64 exists because of Mario 64 and vice versa.
And besides that, something Rob and I concluded when we were talking about his experience over the last few days is, you know, they probably designed how the environment is in Mario 64 to try to, like, eat you into the idea of gaming in three dimensions.
Did really well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you have to look around to find everything. You have to get a really good look at the environment, and they're really good at hiding things from most angles until you find that one right way to look at things.
And everything subsequent to that is taking the environment for granted and focusing on a different gimmick instead, and I think that's the folly of it. You know, they need to go back to, okay, this is just a wide open world, go run around in it and find stuff.
Yeah.
There is not, you know, an A to B path to get to the destination. Find your own way through this.
Peter, do you have anything?
Yeah, I just had a really important question, Rob. Have you have you had the chance to, like, grab and pull Mario's face in the beginning of the game?
Mm-hmm. I've messed around with that a little bit.
That's all.
No. the best part of the game. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, Peter.
I just think that was definitely a really great game, and it was one of the games that I got when it launched and outright that I just played that game for quite a long time.
Yeah, me too.
So it's definitely when you go back to it, it's like, wow, this game definitely did a lot of things right. So I pulled
birthday and Christmas money in 1996 to finally get the Nintendo 64 and Mario 64. And I mean, I could not have been happier with that for years, literally years. I mean, I was so thrilled with my Nintendo 64.
I really wish I had gotten the game in 96 because the first 3D platformer I actually played, help me, is Castlevania 64.
Oh, God.
And so for a great many years, I was very cranky about 3D gaming in general, and it took me a long time to find a 3D game or two I was actually comfortable with.
And yeah.
I really wish I had just cut to the chase and gotten Mario 64, but unfortunately it was not my N64.
Oh. It's great, because I totally played that game, and I didn't, and I was like, wow, this is crazy.
Which one? Castlevania?
Yeah, Castlevania. I didn't know. You know, I was so young. I was like 2.5. You know.
Okay, sure. You're a prodigy.
So you have to forgive me a little bit. I was just I was like, wow, I didn't even know Castlevania was a franchise. So. Wasn't until after.
That's awesome. Also, I hate you. Anyway. Yeah. So okay, guys. New releases for the week of the 15th. Really light week. In fact, I'm even going to count Fez. Fez came out the Friday before this week of release. The other stuff coming out, just really three things of note. Disgaea 3 for the Vita. House of the Dead 4. Oh my gosh, a new House of the Dead. What the hell for PS3? I kind of liked House of the Dead 1 and 2, but purely as an arcade experience. I don't know if I would like it as a console experience. Anyway, and then Deadliest Warrior for the 360. And then also of note, before we get to the random hypotheticals, Resident Evil 6, it is out. The trailer is out. Spoilerific trailer. So if you want to be spoiled, watch the trailer. And if you don't, you're going to be happy knowing that the game's been moved up a month. So it's going to be an October 2nd release, which I think is 2 weeks ahead of BioShock Infinite, which is obviously smart, because when BioShock Infinite comes out, everybody will hand over their money and their first child and not buy another game for 2 months while they're playing BioShock Infinite. So I think that's why they moved up the release. Okay, guys. Because it's a business, you see. Time for the random hypothetical. This one is delicious. It's delicious. And, since Peter came off vacation, I'll ask him first.
Oh, gee. Like, it doesn't...
Like I never do that. Like, I never do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a choice. This is a simple choice. Okay, so... These all-knowing, all-seeing aliens drop down from the heavens. And, they have a high price for our continued existence. So, they could destroy us in an instant, but they've decided not to. The only problem is we have to give up one thing in this world, and it is a beloved dessert. So, Peter, the world can only go with cake or pie. Not both. Which one are you going to sacrifice to the alien gods? Which is better? Which is more beloved to you, cake or pie?
Wait, I have to... So
you have
I
to
have
decide
to
for yeah for the world. Which are you going to sacrifice? No more cake ever again, or no more pie ever again?
I'll sacrifice cake.
So you're a pie guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's wrong with cake?
Because cake is strictly a dessert. If you want pie, you can totally make pie as food, as a meal, as well as a dessert. And if you want the sweetness,
pie as food.
Exactly. And if you want to turn it into something even sweeter, like icing and stuff like that, you could just put ice cream.
Oh, wow. Okay. That was cerebral.
Yeah. For cake is just
That's true. I'm trying to think of savory cake. Is there savory cake? I guess not. Wow. That's weird.
Yeah, call it bread.
Okay. All right. Very nice. Very nice. Okay. At the risk of Peter blowing up this hypothetical, Rob, which one, cake or pie?
If we got rid of cake, could we still do relatively sweet breads and or cupcakes?
I guess so.
Sure. Okay, then definitely get rid of cake and keep the pie. Yes.
Okay. XV.
You kind of turned that one around, didn't you?
He's there. Like, where's he going with this one?
Okay, I'll get rid of the pie.
There you go. Because nothing like a good cake. Although I'll say this. Oh, well, clearly Peter doesn't like cake. I think that's what we're saying here.
I'm pretty sure that was the fastest answer I've ever given in a random hypothetical.
Well, yeah, because you hate cake. Yeah. I guess that's why. And then I will get rid of. I guess I didn't stipulate it was only sweet pie. It doesn't matter. I guess I'll get rid of cake. I'll say pie because of pizza. So if it means if we had to get rid of pizza, man, I would fuck some shit up to keep pizza.
I'd go
Duke Nukem on these aliens.
You know, like I had a lot of savory pies this during my vacation, and they were fantastic. So.
Really, like meat pies, that kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Shepherd's pie,
soaked in a shepherd's pie soaked in a bunch of
blood.
Yeah, where are you going? A bunch of what? A bunch of
beer.
Okay. Well,
beer.
It is England.
Yes. Yeah, it is England.
So, Peter, sure. Did you make it and have a haggis while you were over there, by the way?
I did. I had regular haggis as well as deer-based haggis.
Huh.
They call it something else. It's like Verfation or something like that.
Okay. Very, very Celtic, huh? I guess.
Yes. Yeah, we went to Scotland, so.
Delicious. Nice. Delicious. Okay. All right, on that note, on the note of haggis, that is New Soundwave for the week of the 15th. We'll see you next week. Next week will be a pre-BiCon show, because, yes, the Transformers Convention affects this show, too. So we'll see what that... Yes, it does. And we'll see what that looks like. And then, BiCon week, I know RFC is going to plan for a little different bit of programming, because Peter XV and a couple of guys from the Mother Show are going to be here, like in this room that I'm broadcasting from. So we'll see.
We'll probably pre-act New Soundwave.
It's just going to be like...
Yeah,
we're just gonna be like wrecking the room. It's gonna be fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah, they're gonna be burning stuff down and tearing apart my Transformers and ordering pizza. It'll be awesome.
Gonna be staining your carpet.
Wow. So, okay. So on that note,
your wife is never gonna let you have friends over again.
Yeah, she's gonna padlock the door, change the keys, change the locks. We'll see you next week.
2-1-0. Game over.
Jeez. I love the power glove. It's so bad.
This has been New Soundwave. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Check out all our videos at tfvideo.net. New Soundwave is a Radio Free Cybertron production.